Reviewers and his colleagues have been on to him for years. Phil Keaggy writes, Rich is a painter, using the melodies of strings to communicate beautiful colors. He plays beautiful guitar. Rob Fetters says he plays and sounds like warm cashmere feels and somehow performs a magic trick by keeping a luminous transparency in his production. But my favorite quote, he's a remarkably talented and broadbanding pan-idiomatic artist who's also proven to be a veritable dude. Good evening for Around Cincinnati. I'm Elaine Deal, joined on the phone with that veritable dude, Rich Hordinsky. Rich, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Rich, we had planned on chatting this spring, but we thought it would be in person with some live music to accompany the interview. But 2020 had other plans, didn't it? How are you faring during the pandemic?
You know, I'm very fortunate. You know, I've got my family with me at the house, and I've had a studio space for years. So it's just a block away. So I'm able to do my work. Actually, with a relative amount of solitude when necessary, I'm very, very fortunate. I'm in the minority in that area, and I'm really grateful.
Well, full disclosure, the first time I met Rich, I think you were carrying your daughter Madeline in a baby pack. You were still in Over the Rhine. You were dropping off some music or some photographs, and we go back a ways. Now your daughter Madeline is a reality star on BBC TV, right?
Well, she might bristle at that a little bit. So she's a senior. She's double majored. She's finished one degree. She's finishing up another degree this fall at Ohio University in photojournalism and anthropology. I'm not sure the exact chain of events, but I know that the BBC and British Broadcasting Company was looking for young people in America who are quarantined, hoping to find a photojournalism student so they could have good photos or whatever. And through a series of connections, got connected with my daughter, Maddie. And so Maddie started documenting pretty early on our situation, how we were living at home, how we were coping. And the BBC edited together a beautiful little video, and she had a brief but powerful glimpse into the spotlight there.
Yeah, it really is very well done and beautifully shot. Did Madeline do the photography or the videography?
Oh, yeah. She did all the photography and the video stuff, yeah.
And you've really been one of those wonderful success stories. You've been able to support a family, do your art all at the same time. A lot of it through incredibly hard work, but also the musical collaborations that you've built with the studio. Tell us the name of the studio and what are some of the projects you're up to these days?
Well, the name of the studio is Monastery Studio, and it really started out as a way to just record without having to be at a third place. I was always very intimidated by being in the studio. Some of my earliest experiences were just completely nail-biting. And, you know, for people who haven't been in a recording studio, you know, there's a room where the technical people sit, and then there's a giant glass window, and then there's another room where the musicians generally sit. And so the musicians play, and then they look through this glass window, and they see mouths moving, and they don't know what anybody's saying. And I was just so intimidated by that. I would look in there, and the guy there would be shaking his head and talking to somebody, and I didn't know what they were saying. And I thought for sure they're saying, oh, my gosh, this guy just sucks, you know. And maybe they're just saying, no, I don't want pizza again for lunch, but you don't know that. And so I found that I really flourished, or I did better in a situation without that kind of third-party pressure. And so toward the end of my time with Karen and Linford and Over the Rhine, the group of us started to amass a little bit of equipment. This was the beginning of the digital era, so things had come down in price, started to put that together. And then eventually, I sort of kept expanding that. People kept asking me to help out with projects, and so I expanded that and eventually got my own space and wound up with the studio. But even now, I mean, we opened the studio. You know, we've had lots of wonderful people that we admire in the studio. We've had Feist, we've had The National, David Wilcox. A lot of people that we really love and respect have been here, and we love opening it up for that, but that's not really the main thrust of it. For me personally, I mean, I have assistants and engineers and stuff that do a lot of that work. For me, it's still a laboratory where I'm writing stuff and arranging stuff and, composing a lot.
And it's close to your home, right? You can walk to work?
It's a block from my house, yeah. It's lovely.
And it's also an event space. I remember going to a memorial there. It was my first time in the building. It's just a beautiful, there's a really serene vibe to the place.
Well, thank you. We like it. And yeah, when there's a significant community situation, we do try to make it available. We've had weddings and a handful of memorial services and stuff like that. Sometimes if an artist makes a record here and they want to have a special release show, we'll do that. But we don't do a ton of live shows.
My guest is musician Rich Hordinsky, and now you're getting ready to play out in public again.
Yes. Oh, it's so exciting and intimidating. It's been a conundrum for everybody who plays music live. And for me, at this point in my life, I haven't done any real touring in probably 4 or 5 years. My youngest daughter's just graduated from Walnut Hills this year and is going to college in the fall. So if the world changes a little bit, I had been planning on getting back on tour a little bit. But live playing is something I do to keep engaged with people and keep my chops up. And it's just a joy. I mean, it's one of my very favorite things in the world. But it's not a huge income generator for me since I don't play a ton of shows. So when things closed down, I kind of was like, well, it's not going to affect me all that much. But my goodness, having to cancel a show and then not play at all live. And even in the studio, we play together a lot live, and not doing that as much really had an impact on me, I think, psychologically. So really, really looking forward to it. And, you know, it's at Cafe Vivace, which is a wonderful jazz club right here in the heart of Walnut Hills. On the old school part of Walnut Hills, you know, it's in a 100-year-old building and it's owned by a musician. And I can't tell you, you know, having gone to a handful of coffee shops and a couple restaurants for carry out and all that kind of stuff, Cafe Vivace is like the flagship for how to be careful and thoughtful. And it's hard to explain that they really are taking precautions, but it doesn't feel oppressive. It's sort of done with a sense of humor, like we're all in this together. So I can't emphasize enough, like, if you're at all interested in going out to see live music, not just me, but Cafe Vivace is a great place. They have the tables separated. You know, they've measured stuff. They're religious about how they disinfect. Even between sets, they disinfect everything. And again, it's all done in a sense of camaraderie and good humor, but seriously done, too. You know, unfortunately, seating's very limited. I think there's 25 or 30 seats per show. But yeah, on July 11th.
And you're doing two sets, two very different sets.
Yeah, so the first set's going to be all instrumental stuff, sort of some greatest hits with sort of tongue-in-cheek, but instrumental stuff that people have become familiar with over the years and some new stuff. We like to do arrangements of other stuff. We're going to do a few surprises this time. And then first set starts, I believe, at 7:30, so it's early. Second set starts at 9:30, and that set we're going to only feature music written by Black musicians and composers, which in my world is just remarkably easy to do. You know, the vast majority of music that I love, and it's been said before, but there's no American music without Black American music. And so we've got a wonderful, absolutely wonderful singer named Aprina Johnson who's going to be singing, and we're going to be doing everything from Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions to Jimi Hendrix, just all kinds of really lovely stuff. Great songs, but stuff that's still interesting instrumentally.
We had Aprina in back, oh gosh, I'm thinking it was early in the year, and she sat across the table from me here, as I wish you were. We did an interview, and then she played and sang one of her songs with us, so I think that's a really interesting pairing, Aprina Johnson and Rich Hordinsky. Very, very compelling. And the two sets that you're doing that night are separate tickets, is that right?
Yeah, they're separate tickets, so you can buy seats for both and just stay where you are. And I think there's a way that if you buy the second set, if you've already bought the first set, it's a little bit cheaper, so you're not starting over. I think that's the case. But anyway, yeah, if you want to stay for both sets, you got to buy both sets.
And the date again, Rich?
Saturday, July 11th.
Well, Rich, I read where you said, I can't tell you how excited we are to stand up in front of other humans and share some music with you. What humans will be playing with you on the 11th?
My old and dear friend, Josh Sirkamp, and we've been playing together for probably close to 25 years. Phenomenal musician, drummer, arranger, composer. People might know him. He's the guy that all of the really amazing, interesting, creative stuff that happens at Crossroads Church, Josh is the guy that does that. The whole giant awaited extravaganza that happens, Josh wrote most of that music and arranged it. And he's an amazing drummer. I mean, he's just the most beautiful drummer. He's also just such a well-rounded musician all around, not just a drummer. One, I respect his abilities on so many levels.
Was he a member of Monk?
Yes. Josh toured. We've been all over the world together. Yeah. Famously slept in a closet in London. That was all we had.
So it's you and Josh?
Josh and I, and then on bass is a marvelous musician named Matt Wiles, who's probably one of the premier bass players in this part of the country, if not in the whole nation. He's a remarkable musician, jazz bass player, plays with Brandon Coleman, who's a really wonderful musician in town here. And Matt, I was talking to him one day because occasionally I don't write out everything I do, but some of the stuff that's trickier, I'll actually write out the sheet music for it and give it to people just because it's easier to learn that way. And I had one piece of music. It's not particularly difficult to play, but it's incredibly difficult to read. I mean, it would take me, if I hadn't written it, it would take me days to work it out and play it. And I hand the sheet music to Matt, and he just reads it down, plays it more or less right the first time. And I just took a breath, and I was like, dude, you know, and he just kind of kept doing it. And I find out later that he didn't even study bass in college. He was a classical piano major in college. Wow. So he's just a dude, total dude. Yeah, so I love playing with these guys. It's a joy to play with them. And, you know, we still do sessions together in the studio, and we record videos in the studio and stuff. But it's so much more exciting to get in front of other people and just get some back and forth going. It's so important.
You've been kind of preparing for this, although maybe you didn't know it, because you've done a lot of technology things, including you do online guitar lessons or guitar camps, do I understand?
Since the virus happened, I moved a bunch of guitar lessons online. I don't teach a lot of lessons. I have a small cohort of students that I keep. I really enjoy teaching, and I'm one of those people that feel like it's a responsibility. If you learn something, especially the way that music industry has changed, not to say disappeared, but the way the music industry has really, really changed, you have all this stuff that you've learned to do over the years, and some of it is just not going to be around anymore if you don't pass it on. So I kind of, not in a high and lofty sense, but I do feel like, you know, if you know something, you have a responsibility to share it if people are interested in learning about it. So I teach a handful of students online. It's not my favorite. I'm hoping that we can get back to face-to-face lessons in the future. But I do want to say, not to contradict you, but for some reason, because I have a studio, people think that I understand technology. And I'm not ignorant, but oh my goodness, I'm not the guy.
I appreciate your honesty.
When it comes to the very deep studio stuff, like I have people I bring in and that work here and, you know, at the studio and do that stuff for me. I really stay on the music side of the line. I'm more involved with the arranging and talking about the form and how is that melody working more than, what microphone is that? Part of the reason that I don't want to take credit for understanding technology is that the people that do it, I have so much respect for. I'll have people come into the studio and say, hey, are you engineering this? And I want to like gently say, you know, the people who are engineers, like they're called engineers for a reason. They understand the science and the math and how to do all that stuff. You know, I have a layman's practical experience. Hopefully, if this situation extends itself, we got to figure out a better technology for even doing this, you know?
We'll look forward to that day when you can come back in and perform live. In the meantime, there's the show at Cafe Vivace on Saturday, July 11th. For a link to all of Rich Horditzky's music and to the Monastery Studio, visit our website, wvxu.org. Rich, I appreciate you spending some time with us today.
No, it's my pleasure. It's good to catch up.
Good luck, and we'll see you in Walnut Hills on the 11th.
Thanks, Glenn.